words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Those of you that know me, you know that I deal in order. And everything that I do, there is order in it. My house is in order. The business is in order. The church is in order. And I'm a little out of order today, so I want to set that straight right now. My pastor, who is the assistant to the pastor of this house, is here, and that is Reverend Robert Bass. He is on the front row. And he is on the front row simply because the contractors have not been in to put the railings up. It isn't because I didn't ask him, but I want to acknowledge him because if it had not been,
come on.
So I thank you for your presence here, and I'm excited when the railings come up because I like to have you up here where I know that you're right behind me. Amen. The Bible tells us in the book of John, the 4th chapter, the 20th through the 24th verse, and the Amplified Bible reads as thus, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews say that the place where we ought to worship is in Jerusalem at the temple. And Jesus replied, woman, believe me, a time is coming when God's kingdom comes, when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans don't know what you worship. We Jews do not know what we worship, for salvation is from the Jews. But a time is coming and is already here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit, from the heart and the inner self, and in truth. For the Father seeks such people to be his worshipers. God is a spirit, the source of life, yet invisible to mankind. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So we're talking this morning this afternoon, an attitude of worship. See, it's Pentecost Sunday, and everybody expects the normal scripture coming from Acts, where we hear the same thing every year, but our worship stays the same every year. So we need to address, why does it stay the same? Could it be because our attitude needs an adjustment? So how do we move into a higher level of worship in our personal lives and corporately together as a church? Answering the question is a little more complex than you may think, but it's an extremely important question that needs to be asked and it needs to be answered. So if I were to ask for a show of hands, how many of you in here want a higher level of worship? Raise your hand. How many of you want more than what you have right now? Raise your hand. How many of you want more in your worship than you have right now? So every hand is raised, so we're in agreement. Am I right? There are enormous benefits to entering into a deep and meaningful worship experience. But what does it take to get there? And I want to address that today. Some key foundations in genuine worship. I've seen well-meaning Pentecostals and others get into trouble by seeking quick and easy answers to questions. Things that go quick come quick, don't they?
That's right.
Things that you have to work and develop, don't they last forever and forever?
Yeah.
Folks that come in, they join the church on Sunday, and next Sunday they want to head the deacon board and they want to be in charge, and then come June they're going on to some other place. But those that come in and find a place and begin to dig in and develop a worship experience and a relationship with Christ, they last. Am I right about it? The real thing is costly. It's not cosmetic. It's not superficial, but it speaks to the very core of who we are.
Yeah.
So let's start with the statement that Jesus made with the woman at the well in John 4 and 23. He brought up the subject of worship. Her approach was typical. She wanted to address the external issues. Specifically, she wanted to know, where is the right place to worship? Where, who's right? Are the Samaritans right? Are the Jews right? She was asking superficial questions about where are we supposed to worship and who's right. And he really broke it down, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Some said that Mount Gerizim was the proper place for public worship. Understand that she and Jesus are at the foot of the mountains during this conversation. Conversely, the Jew took the position that Jerusalem is the right place that God had designated for worship. And from an Old Testament perspective, the Jews were right. However, Jesus took it deeper.
Yes, it is.
The real issue with worship is not external, it's a heart issue. Are you with me? So in John 4 and 23, he gives the most essential principle to worship in a one-liner. He said, but the hour is coming and is now when the true worship will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship. He didn't say, get the lights right. See, it's quiet. He didn't say get the lights right.
Come on.
He didn't say get the praise team together. All right. It's a heart issue. You have to know who he is in your heart, and you have to worship him in his spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And it says that's what the Father is seeking.
Yeah,
so he specifically said, this is what I want. I want you to worship me, but you would need to worship me in spirit and in truth, or don't bother. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. If you don't get this one right, all the other conversations that you will have about worship are null and void. An attitude of worship springs from the heart. Worship must happen between an individual spirit and the spirit of the living God. It doesn't just happen in an empty form, a form of godliness without power of the Holy Spirit. See, there's a connection. You're missing it. God is spirit, and those who worship him, spirit and truth. The Amplified Version adds the word in reality. This is perhaps the most profound essential statement that could be made about worship. It's not just a matter of doing it in the right location or the right method. First and foremost, if you skip that, it has to be truthful and sincere. Everything else that comes out of the mouth is noise. Religious leaders of the day had gone to great lengths to orchestrate worship in the temple. Am I right? See, if you read and learn your history, hundreds of people attended their services. Now, yeah, see, and I said it before, we have churches now, when you walk in, the walls are black. It's dark in there. The Bible says that men love darkness. My granddaddy used to say, let's turn on the lights and see what everybody is doing. Theatrical productions. I'm not talking about anybody, but if you came for a show, you can go, because you're not going to get one today. You're going to get what the word says. The walls of our churches have been painted black.
Mercy.
Dark.
Come on, talk to us.
When you come in, you get popcorn and potato chips and a latte and sit down in the sanctuary. We got signs that say, leave it outside.
Yes, sir.
This is a holy place.
Amen.
And everything that comes out of the mouth is supposed to be holy.
Yeah.
How you mix holy with potato chips and latte.
Come on.
If any man hungry, what? Let him eat at home.
That's right. Come on, preach it, Pastor.
The bigger the church, the bigger the show.
Come on now.
And why do you think, I don't want to veer off, but why do you think that so many churches are springing up now?
Come on, talk to us.
Have you taken a look around the Lehigh Valley? Remember years ago, it was the big four and that was it.
Yeah. Yes, right. Come on.
And whatever was handed to us on a plate, we ate it up.
Come on,
we started to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And we saw, look, you can't be on the front row telling me what's wrong with my life, and you're shacked up with somebody that's not your wife. And it suddenly became unacceptable to the Christians of the Lehigh Valley. Then we sprang up into new stuff. Where sincere and pure worship is coming forth. Yet Jesus, quoting Isaiah, said to them that these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship. So do you know that you can come and worship and it's in vain if it is not done in spirit and in truth? I don't know about you. I don't have a whole lot of time. I don't have time to do anything in vain.
Come on now.
Come on, make it plain.
And really, neither do you either. Vain, empty, useless. We're doing the right moves. We're saying the right things. We're physically in the right place, but our heart isn't right. We need an attitude adjustment. Real worship isn't happening because our heart isn't right.
Come on now.
So the crucial mistake we must avoid is majoring on the external things and missing the most fundamental issue of all. Get your heart right.
Come on.
What is the condition of your heart?
Yes, sir.
When you go to the doctor and he tells you you have a heart problem, the first thing you do is say, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to get better? What can I do to make it safe? What can I do to improve the situation? The same thing is true when it comes to your relationship and your worship. You have a heart problem. So what do you do to fix it? What do you do to get it straight? Foundation of worship. Worship flows out of one's revelation of who God is.
Come on
now. Worship flows out of one's revelation of who God is. What does that mean? Jesus confronted the woman at the well with the statement, you worship what you don't know. The fundamental problem in your worship is not an external thing like your location. You're worried about where should it be, and I'm trying to tell you your heart in right. The fundamental problem is you don't know God for who he really is. See, I know him.
Come on.
And I know what he can do.
Yes.
And I believe in him.
Yes.
And because I believe in him and I know
yes.
about him, I love him. And because yes. I love him, I want to know more about him. And so I want to know more about him. I study. And when I study, he reveals himself to me.
Yes.
And the more he reveals
yes.
himself to me, the more I love him. And the more I love him, the more I respect him. And the more I respect him, the more he leads me where I am. So when I come into the house, I can have a spirit of worship. You can't worship something you don't know about. You can't write a biography about me if you don't know me. We can only appreciate for him for what we know. We can only adore his attributes to the extent that we spiritually perceive them to be. Am I right? If you feel he haven't done anything for you, your worship is only going to be but so much. Your thankfulness is only going to be so much if you think that you did it on your own. Have you been a partaker of his grace? Then you can praise him for the grace that you've experienced. Am I right? Head knowledge is a good place to start. It's good to have some knowledge. But you see, David worshiping God, he worshiped him out of his experiences. And so we have some of the most beautiful psalms recorded in the Bible because David knew who God was because he got in a relationship with him. And so his worship was tied to his knowledge of God, and it was sincere. I didn't say he didn't
yes,
make mistakes.
Yes, he did.
But he knew how to go back.
Yes, he did.
Come on now.
Right.
Psalms 28, 6 and 7, David said, blessed be the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication.
Yes, yes,
the Lord is my strength and my shield. This is David talking out of an experience. He said, the Lord is my strength
yes,
and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him.
Yes.
See, he discovered that God as his strength and his shield, in a tight place, he knew that he could call on it.
Yes. Yes.
See, when you get backed up against the wall, you've got to know that you can call on
yes.
it.
Yes.
But see, if you don't know me, and you call me, and you're backed up against the corner, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's snowing, I'm going to say, who is this?
Right.
If I even pick up the phone.
Come on, talk to
him, man. Right? Come on now. I know you.
Yeah, yeah.
So when, and I know you. So when your name popped up on my phone and said one of your people needs you, I came right away because we have a relationship.
Yeah. Come on now.
Now David can worship God in his strength and his shield. He says, therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. Based on his revelation of God and the joy in his heart, he continued to write, and with my song, I will praise him.
Yeah.
It wasn't that everybody got the music just right, and the mood had to be right, and the service had to be right, and the key had to be right. It was the spirit in which it was done. Have you ever been into a church and you heard somebody sing and they couldn't sing at all, but they sang with such a spirit and an anointing? It didn't matter. They still blessed your heart. It's not about that stuff. It's about where it comes from. See, you can sing until the windows crack and the pews shake, but if your heart isn't right, folks are just going to stare at you.
That's right.
See, your praise shouldn't be attached to the organist. No offense, I love you. But if you weren't able to make it today, we'd have had church anyhow. Because my praise is not connected. We are part of a corporate worship experience. But if one piece is missing, it doesn't upset the whole cart. Because my attitude has to be in worship. Your praise shouldn't be dependent on the lighting. I know churches, and some of them are my good friends.
Come on, talk to them.
They have lighting rehearsal.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know what the scripture going to be on Sunday, but we're going to get the lights.
You talk to them.
Now, see, people going to send me hate mail this week, but that's all right. Your praise should come from the heart based on knowledge of the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. Are you with me?
That's right.
Psalm 86, 12 and 13. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me. And you have delivered my soul from the depths of hell. He knows, God, that is merciful. Because he experienced it personally. Anybody that can live a life like David and still have favor, come on, you've got to have a relationship. Because if some folks had done some of the things to me that David did, I wouldn't even. That's flesh, right?
Yeah.
Look, if you rattle my, I'm quick to move on. Revelation of God comes out of our experiences with him. We get an additional revelation as we worship.
Yes, yeah.
Right? That happened to Isaiah when he saw the Lord lifted high. After King Uzziah's death, that happened to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, as he was worshiping in the temple in the book of Luke.
Yes,
when he leaves, the heavens opened up and came down and poured out. Am I right? Yes. But we enter into worship based on our understanding of God today.
Yes.
And who he is right now. The level of our worship is tied to the revelation of God that you worship. The higher your view, the richer your worship.
Yeah.
Right? The more you let's think about it on a personal level. The more you think of somebody, the more you'll do for them.
Yeah.
The more you do for them, the deeper your relationship grows. The more respect you have for them, right? See, God isn't just the God on Sunday. He wakes you up on Monday as well. And on Monday, he deserves the same level of worship and gratitude that you gave him on the hour that you came to church. We will sit at a concert. We will stand in line to buy sneakers. But we want to get out of church in an hour and 15 minutes. What are you going to do in heaven? It's forever. If we can't sit 2 hours down here, what are we going to do up there? The level of godly reverence in your heart is a function of your knowledge, is a function of your willingness to humble yourself and open your heart.
Yeah.
See, you can worship under what the world sees as dire circumstances.
Come on, come
if you know God and you have a relationship with him, when one of your family members leaves here and they're laid out, you can do like Bishop did. I watched him dance and shout and give God worship and praise around him, his mother's remains. Because you have a relationship.
Hallelujah.
The world looking at you like you're crazy. What's wrong with him? His mama's dead. And he said, today my mama is more alive than she ever has been in her life. And that comes from a relationship. That's why Jesus taught to approach the Father when we pray, hallowed be thy name. Understanding him as a separate thing above all other creation. We should approach him in high reverence. That's why there's no coffee in here. That's why there's no potato chips in here. Because when you come in here, this is a reverent place. And when we approach the altar and the word of God is coming forth, we ought to be reverent to that. We lose our sense of majesty when it comes to the church anymore. We want to be comfortable and we want to make people comfortable and we want to make them feel. Look, man, when I was coming up, we didn't have air conditioning. They opened the windows. We didn't have carpet, maybe a runner down the aisle, and we had wood floors. And when you came around the corner, you hear.
Yep. That's right.
Right? Now we get synthesizers and electric drums and organs and keyboards, and there's no majesty. We preach in jerseys and football hats. And that stuff is good, but that's not to be.
All right.
This is they call it a sacred desk.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Clothe yourself in humility before you stand behind
me. Right.
There is an order to the church.
Hallelujah.
Be still and know that I am God. So rather than address deeper issues, today's church is expressively pragmatic, looking for quick answers and surface solutions. Let's just get them off the street, but not minister to what put them on the street in the first place. Well, amen, somebody.
Yeah.
We try to generate a worship experience that doesn't flow out of sincere reverence for who God is. It's contrived, it's rehearsed, and it is nothing more than a show. The person who doesn't live in the fear of the Lord all week long is a hypocrite and a constant contradiction of who she really is, he or she really is, if you come into church on Sunday morning and fake it. I'm sorry. I'd rather have a church of 5 saved folks and others seeking than 200 just busy, ineffective. Family, you can't do whatever you want to do all week long and live however you see fit all week long and then duck and dodge and bob and weave and come into the house on Sunday morning and pretend. We can't sleep around. We can't drink and smoke and put all kinds of stuff into our body and come into church on Sunday and expect a sincere and full worship experience. Am I talking to anybody? If you want to worship in the spirit from a sincere heart, you've got to invite God's presence. And then you've got to take the trash out before treasure can come into your life.
Come on.
We can give time all week long to get the cameras right and all that stuff. But we don't put any time into our scripture and our lesson. Then it becomes a performance. So we address the core issue first. The fear and reverence for the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And out of wisdom flows genuine worship.
Yes, it does.
Worship flows out of a gratitude for God's goodness. Psalm 136 and 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. See, worship is birthed out of a genuine appreciation for the goodness that he has done and everything that he has done in our lives. See, sometimes we come into church with a heavy heart because of the things we don't have, not realizing we need to thank God for some of the stuff that we don't have because it's not for us.
Come on, talk to us.
Remember Paul and Silas' prison experience in Acts 16. They'd been beaten and severely thrown into a dirty and dingy prison. Circumstances weren't good, were they? The beating that they received, they were still hurt. They were still bruised. They were still bleeding. They were locked up. They were in jail. It was dirty. And they looked around and they said, even in this situation, we're going to start to sing and we're going to start to praise God. See, you can do that when you know who he is, when you have a relationship and your attitude is based on worship and you understand and you're thankful for what God has done for you. Whatever your situation looks like, when it looks dark, it's not really that dark. Sincere worship. And others began to hear it. And they thought to themselves, how can they in this situation worship God? But see, when it's sincere, you can reach folks. When it's fake, you can't grow nothing. That plant right there is going to be that size forever because it's fake.
Come on.
You can water it. You can put it in the sun. It's going to look just like that. Now these right here, if you don't water them and nurture them and give them love and make sure that they have the soil is right, then they're going to grow. If they don't, they will die.
All right.
Come on. Preach.
God moved powerfully on their behalf, and ministry and worship went forth in the prison house. They worshiped God in spirit and truth because they were convinced of his goodness. When a person lives a life of gratitude and praise, it doesn't take long for you to get into a spirit of worship on Sunday morning. Why? Because you came in the right condition. You don't have to be coddled and pumped up and say, stand on your feet. Give God some praise. Isn't he all right? You should come in here and I should have to sit and wait for y'all to calm down because of the goodness of God. And you're in despair, if you have a relationship with him, you should still come in the house with a spirit and an attitude of worship. I ask you today, what does your worship look like? So you all should have shouted right there, what does your worship look like? What has God done for you? The children wandered around the wilderness for years because they were ungrateful. And their attitude wasn't right. They were 12 miles away from their destination and they wandered for years because their attitude was jacked up. Paul and Silas were not convinced of the goodness of God. Unlike them, they were. They'd seen God do awesome miracles. Yes. They'd been delivered out of the bond of Egypt. God rained manna on down on them and provided new manna.
Every day.
They said, when the day is over, don't eat that stuff. That's no good. Right. I've got something new for you. Don't you know that every day you have something new from God? But your attitude prevents you from walking in the newness of what God has for you every day. Because you're so worried about what you missed out on yesterday or what somebody else has. Because your attitude is attached to somebody else or some other thing or how people perceive you or what you think other people should think of you. And they don't. Your attitude needs to be, what does Jesus see when he sees me? Every little bump in the road was a reason for them to complain and grumble. And they did it. They were unhappy with God. They were unhappy with the journey that he had them on. How many of you are unhappy with the journey that you're on? See, I don't know about you, but when I think about all the things that I had to endure, all the abuse that I endured, all the things that I saw, all the people that were mean to me, all the things that hurt me to my very core, that would have drove somebody else insane, they were a part of the process. They were a part of the journey. And what the devil meant for my evil, God turned it around. For your good, you have to be happy with your journey. Understand that where you are is not where you're going to end up. It's a process. Thankfulness lays the foundation for worship. Am I talking to anybody? No, I shout. Somebody late. Hallelujah, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. You wouldn't want to be around me if he hadn't. I'm telling you the truth. The Bible commands us be anxious for nothing. Some translations say don't worry about anything. We take it as a suggestion, but it's a command. The Bible says be not anxious for anything. Be anxious for nothing. So let's say I violated that all week long and I worried about something that I had already asked God to take care of. I'm talking to me because there's a situation. I've got a relationship situation with somebody in my life that I worried about it all week long. And I bothered Bishop with it. But the Bible says be anxious for nothing. So I violate that all week long and then I come in and want sincere worship.
Come on now.
How much longer does it take to get into a spirit of worship when you come with the wrong attitude? The answer is found in being thankful all week long and being ready to enter into worship when the service begins. Next week, I'm telling y'all, I want you to focus on this week of everything that God has done for you. I want you every day, every hour, say, God, I thank you. Even when something doesn't seem right, say, God, I know it's just part of the journey, and I thank you anyhow, and I dare you on Sunday, when you come in here, there ought to be a line of folks shouting before you even get into the sanctuary. The more we know him, the more we love him, the more we believe him, the more he reveals himself to us. See, if I tell you something and you don't believe me, I'm going to stop talking to you. I'm not going to say nothing else to you. If I'm going to pour into your life and you don't believe anything that I say, all whatever you got from me, that's all you're going to get. But if you come back and you say, listen, I have a question. I want to learn more about it. I'll develop a relationship with you. And I'll reveal to you what I know. You'll tell me what you need. We'll work it out and together we'll grow. And your relationship with Jesus Christ has to be the same way. The word is here. I didn't write it. If you don't like what it says, take it up with Jesus. What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong.
Right.
Call black, black, and white, white, and move on. Today is an important day. This is Pentecost Sunday.
Come on, talk to
us. One of four major festivals of the church.
That's right.
Today we celebrate the coming of God's Spirit.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit into the lives of men and women. Today we really celebrate the birth of the church.
That's right.
Because see, before the Holy Spirit came, we were just making noise.
That's right.
We thought we had to burn our prayers to get up. But the Holy Spirit came down.
Yeah.
That was the birth of the church. Amen.
Yeah.
Today is just as important as Christmas, just as important as Easter, just as important as the festival of the Ascension. It is for some unknown reason, though, we don't talk about it that much. Maybe because we have a difficult time getting a handling on the Spirit of God.
Come on, preach to us.
Maybe we don't understand exactly what happened on that day.
Mm-hmm.
See, when we talk about the Spirit, we don't talk about it like it's a sweet thing. It doesn't sound as good as talking about a baby born in a manger. It doesn't sound as good about like angels singing from heaven and gifts being passed about and shepherds tending to their sheep. Maybe Pentecost doesn't get so much attention because we've not found a way to commercialize it like we have Christmas. We didn't turn it into a cultural extravaganza or into a holiday, so it goes unnoticed. But instead, this holiday is important. It's important to the life of the church. It's important to your life, and it's important to the ministry. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in this world. It is the same presence that is moving over the face of the earth when God created the world in which we live. It's the same presence that took the form of a baby in a manger. See, it started with the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit of God that walked the earth for 33 years and ministered to us and taught us and gave healing and proclaimed the love of God for all people. And now today, it is the same Spirit that is with us to bring us comfort in our lonely hour. The source of the Holy Spirit is God. And we talk about Trinity, God the Father who creates, God the Son who redeems, and God the Holy Spirit who gathers us together, enlightens and sanctifies us. King James in the book of Acts, I know this is what you're waiting for. It says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all on one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them to have cloven tongues of fire that sat on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit came and gave them utterance. So what happened was the Holy Spirit wouldn't come until they all got on the same page. What page are you on today? We wonder why our churches are in turmoil and chaos. It's because we're on different pages. And until we get on one accord, the Spirit of the living God will not dwell in confusion. But here's the thing, y'all. When y'all get your attitude right, we all get on the same page. And when we all get on the same page, the Spirit of the living God will rain down on this place, and there's nothing that we can do to stop it. Worship is an attitude. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. See, you need to have a thankful heart. See, we forget where we came from. Amen, somebody. We forget that we didn't always have what we have.
Yeah,
we forget that we weren't always in church.
Yeah,
we want to act like we always been here.
Come on.
So we forget to be thankful because we stop looking back. Don't live in it, but you got to remember where you came from to appreciate where you are. Amen.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, whatever your journey was to get you here, it was part of the process. It's part of who you are, and you can't forget about it. Amen.
Right.
A thankful heart. A mind stayed on Jesus.
Yeah.
Thankful for whatever the situation is. In spite of, you need to have faith. In spite of the devil, you need to say, I'm just going to praise him.
Again.
See, y'all should be shouting. In spite of whatever it is, you need to have an in spite of attitude.
Yeah.
In spite of my husband or wife who won't do right, I'm still going to praise him. In spite of my children who won't act right, I'm still going to give him glory. In spite of my situation, I don't have a job. My money is funny, but I'm still going to praise him. My attitude needs to be an attitude of gratitude. And when I'm thankful for everything, I'm giving worship. And my worship is true and sincere. The Spirit will come down and he will lift you up. How you talk to me, whatever they say about me, I don't care. I'm still gonna praise him. Why you start a church? What they, why you do that on him? I'm still gonna praise him. There's no need for the dark, the devil is alive. I'm gonna praise him. I'm gonna preach in season, out of season. I'm thankful for what God has done. Praise. praise him in the morning. I praise him in the noonday. And I praise him all night long. What does your worship look like? Give God some praise. Just give him some praise. Say, God, I thank you. God, I thank you. I thank you, God. The cancer didn't kill me. God, I thank you. The heart attack didn't kill me. God, I thank you. Samuel goes, talk to me. God, I'm still going to praise you. What does your worship look like? Do you need an attitude adjustment? God has been good. Y'all are standing to your feet and giving your best praise. Right now, I dare you. Faithful over a few things, God said that he will make you ruler over many. Yeah. But you have to get there, amen. Yeah. You have to give an account for your own soul salvation. Yeah. You have to stand before the Lord and say, yeah, I did that. Yeah, yeah, I went there. Yeah, yeah, I said that. Yeah, I drank that. Yeah, I smoked that. Yeah, I laid down. You've got to give an account for that. Yeah. And there are no excuses.